Be calm, Tamar's on.
Welcome to Tamar Talk, where music is constant and discovery is endless. Now your host, ready to tell it all, Ashley Tamar!
Hey you guys, what's up? It's your girl Ashley Tamar, aka Tamar. I am so glad to be back on the air. I hope you guys have been great. Your 2018 going well. A lot's going on in our world and our society. And I know some of the things we're just taken aback from. You know, there's been Mother's Day since I've talked to you, graduation season to all of the graduates. And at the same time, we're mourning some devastating situations in our society in Texas with the shooting. You know, we keep hearing and keep seeing posts and people praying for our gun control and our laws. Listen, I'm not going to pretend like I know anything about the laws. I just know we've got to get to the mental state of what's going on in our world and in our communities. In our schools, with our youth, finding out what's really going on, what concerns them, and really getting back to me in a state of prayer as a nation and as a country, not just when things hit us hard, such as the situation in Texas. So special prayers to our youth as they're going to school. I know when I was going to school, this is the last thing that we ever had to think about, and this is their world now, and it's very, 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 very sad. So definitely praying. I hope you guys are praying with me and praying for us, and not just for ourselves and our families, but for our nation as a whole. So that's my tidbit on that. I know since then, Prince Harry and Meghan have tied the knot in the marriage world. So congratulations to them. Season 14, Bryn Cartelli on The Voice. Congratulations to you, girl. Your voice is phenomenal. Enjoy this ride. Keep being an artist. That's one thing that I have to tell you, no matter who's doing your paperwork and who's managing you, you should always remain the person that gets to know what's happening behind the scenes. So shout out to you, girl. The Voice. And of course, go Houston Rockets. I am from Houston, Texas. I'm so excited for my Rockets. They have had a great season, and then they come out in the clutch. You know, I just need y'all to stop making my heart pound. I need y'all to just keep that ball in rotation and not letting me stress at the last minute because y'all didn't let the gap just get smaller and smaller. But shout out to the Houston Rockets. You guys have been just shining and representing. Go Houston, go Houston. All right, guys, coming up, I have some more hot topics coming your way. But please first enjoy this song, Beautiful, Loved, and Blessed, by myself, Ashley Tamar, and the late, great Prince. Wake up. You're beautiful.
Everybody wants fame. Always trying to break you down, thinking that it'll raise them up.
I just wanna be happy. Come take this bitter cup from me.
If I were to ever write down my life story, I could truly say, with all the fame and glory, I was just a piece of clay in need of the potter's hand. When you whispered in my ear the words I somehow understand, oh,
beautiful. just plant the seed.
Ooh. Everything you made, you said.
That's good.
Before the fall of man, you said.
That's good.
Every time I walk in faith.
That's good.
You let me see another day.
Ooh.
Before the earth was made, you said.
Tamar.
I will lead the way and you'll
go far.
Knowledge and understanding, understanding is good. And when I wake up in the morning, all I hear in my hood is people saying that they're
beautiful.
Beautiful.
Will you rescue me from the darkness? And now I just must confess.
I am beautiful. Loved and blessed.
When you're free. All you gotta do is just plant the seed.
Tamar. Don't forget to leave me a message to any of these hot topics that I have coming your way. Interviews, if you have any questions for me or anyone that I'm interviewing, don't forget to push that message board and just speak right into your phone and hit me up with anything that you got to say. Make sure it's clean and fun. And maybe I'll just post your comment on air and I will answer it as well. So thank you guys once again for listening. Today's hot topic, is coming from, I don't know if you guys know, YouTube Music has finally launched. After repeatedly failing to gain traction in the music streaming space, Google's latest attempt is finally here. It is called YouTube Music. It is set to launch, Tuesday and replace Google Play Music as the company's music subscription service. YouTube Music, for example, borrows its pricing model from Spotify with a free tier, I know that's what I love, to the platform of $9.99 per month paid tier that offers ad-free listening, music downloads, and the ability to play music in the background on your mobile device. I posed that question not too long ago on my social media. How many of you guys listen to free subscription versus the paid subscription? And, there's some words going back and forth whether YouTube Music is going to surpass Spotify, which is what I actually listen to. But YouTube Music will harness the smarts of Google Assistant to fuel its song recommendations. I think it's still a little weird that we live in a time where we can speak to our devices and they can do things for us, or they can, you know, go into a server and tap into something and pull it up or pull up a fax. And I think it's kind of cool, but then it's a little weird that you can just hear my voice and go and fetch my answer. But you know, Google Assistant is supposed to do that very thing. The service aims to recommend songs based on things such as your location, the time of day, your listening patterns, which could theoretically mean that, you know, they know what you prefer. You know, once again, it is what it is. But at the same time, Google is also streaming its other music and video streaming offerings. And so it's a little thing that's going back and forth here. And I guess at the end of the day, the major question will always be, who exactly is the music service for? Because let's be real, YouTube still surpasses so many people. It has over 1.8 billion visitors each month. And Google's challenge is going to be, of course, to convince people like me who have the free subscriptions to the paying subscriptions. So I don't know, you guys, you know, chime in here. You guys going to switch to the paying subscription on YouTube? Or are you going to stay with your free and just let the ads roll by? You know, like me, I try to skip it when it says skip. Talk to me, you guys. Are y'all going to be into this new YouTube Music situation? Let a girl know. It's your girl, Ashley Tamar. More hot topics coming your way.
I'm so in love. I'm so in love. Only in my dreams she comes to see me. Only in my dreams she belongs to me. Strange as it may seem, I look forward to sleeping so that I may see her again. Slowly we make love while the full moon smiles at us. I like the way your hips sway through the sweet summer breeze. High from above I hear angels sing to us. And she looks at me and says, I love you, Tony. Dreams to me are my reality. All the love I feel's gotta be real. Even though I'm in love with a fantasy, I can never change the way I feel. Today she held my hands as we strolled down the Milky Way shores. Using our minds, we intertwined through another space and time. And then we took a swim through an ocean of red roses. Man, it feels so good, it's like I'm losing my mind.
Losing my mind.
I'm so in love. I'm so in love. Tell me it ain't real, ma. She's my friend. And dreams to me are my reality. All the love I feel has gotta be real.
Gotta be real.
Even though I'm in love with a fantasy, can never change the way I feel. So in love. I'm so in love. I'm so in love. I'm so in love. You can't tell me I'm not real. No, you can't tell me it's not real. She's my friend. You can call me crazy, 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 but she's my friend. Can't wait to fall asleep and see her again. Even though I'm in love with a fantasy, I can never change the way
I'm so in love.
Hey, you guys, what's up? It's your girl, Ashley Tamar. It is time for that hour where I tell you the job of the week. If you are looking for a job, I know we are always looking to make that money, honey. Sony ATV is looking for an income tracking analyst. What the heck is that, I bet you ask? I will tell you. They are looking in Nashville, actually. So, you know, if you want to know what's going on, don't forget to hit me up, inbox me on all my social media, and I will get this information to you. Sony ATV, I don't know if you know who they are, but they are huge. They represent copyrights of such legendary artists as the Beatles, Lear, Cohen, Bob Dylan, Marvin Gaye, Michael Jackson, just to name a few. Oh, wait, the Supremes, Wyclef Jean, Stevie Wonder. And its ever-growing list of chart-topping artists, writers, and producers also include Akon, Avicii, rest in peace, Calvin Harris, Jessie J, Alicia Keys, Lady Gaga, Pink, should I say more? Yes, Shakira, Ed Sheeran, Sam Smith, Taylor Swift, Kanye West, and one of my favorites, Pharrell Williams. The analyst income tracking position will have the following responsibilities. This is just a few. You must be able to assist in ensuring royalty accountings are reported accurately in compliance with agreements and an on timely basis, recover unpaid or underpaid royalties in the United States and Canada. Who, as artists, don't we always want our royalties? Work with licensing department to ensure accurate entry of U.S. and Canadian mechanical licenses. That's a whole nother discussion. And another thing is work with the royalties department to ensure accuracy of royalty postings. Some of the things that you must have if you are trying to apply as a qualified candidate: strong analytical ability, results driven, ability to manage multiple tasks while prioritizing and meeting various deadlines. You must be highly organized and detail oriented. Excellent verbal and written communication skills. Wait, maybe I should be applying for this job. Performance rights experience preferred, and a minimum of 3 to 5 years of music publishing or industry equivalent experience required. So you guys, once again, Sony ATV is looking for an income tracking analyst. Do not forget to hit me up, the Tamar Davis, on all my social media. Send me a message on tamardavis.com, or you can just message me here on Tamar Talks Radio, and I will gladly get you this information. Upcoming, I have a wonderful interview with a dear friend who has worked on Bravo, VH1. He's worked with the Who's Who as an event planner, and you guys, his work is off the chain. Stay tuned for this upcoming interview with Mr. Brian Keith. Hey, you guys, it's your girl, Ashley Tamar, a.k.a. Tamar, and I'm so excited to bring on someone very, like, you know, I've known him for a long time, but then, like, I haven't known him for a long time, because he just travels everywhere, so when I see him, I'm always feeling like it's the first time I'm seeing him in years. Please welcome to Tamar Talks Radio, Mr. Brian Keith.
Hey, 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 how is everybody doing?
Thank you so much for being on Tamar Talks podcast. You're the first in your category, so I'm actually really excited to get to know more about you and what you have going on. What's going on? Like, where are you born and raised? I know I met you in Houston, but where were you born and raised, and how did you get into event planning? Is that the title?
Yes. So I was, of course, born in the amazing state of Texas, city of Houston, Cashman Gardens area. That's where I spent 38 years of my life, 39 now. So 38 years of my life I spent in Houston, Texas with my family and friends. And that's why I started my business. Event planning, when people ask me this question, I have to always think back when I first started to find the love for it. I just know what it was. That was around the age of 7 or 8. My parents would always ask me, you know, Brian, what do you want to do for your birthday? I didn't just say, you know, I want to have the typical superhero birthday. I always wanted to go into the theme, the design, you know, what we're going to have, cake, fun, you know, all this stuff. So when my friends come over, I literally would be the planner. And they were like, why are you not playing with your friends? Why are you not having a good time? I'm like, I want to make sure they're having a time. You know, it's a time for this. It's time for that. Let's cut the cake. And they just thought I was being a spoiled kid. But it was manifesting inside of me at the age of 7 or 8. They just didn't know what it was, and I didn't either. So that's how I started.
So so I'm jumping around a little bit here. So at 7 years old, of course you didn't know what it was called. Who kind of introduced you to the title of event planning? Was it once you got in your young adult years? Did you go to college for it?
At the age of 18, a friend of mine asked me to do her wedding, and I didn't know why. Because again, I still didn't identify event planning with myself. I definitely didn't know how I could make money from it because I didn't know anyone that was personally doing it. So she asked me to do it. I did it with ease. Like, it was no problem. And I didn't have like time to plan her wedding. She asked me to do it and I did it like the next day. So I planned her whole design, got the people down the aisle, all that stuff. And I still didn't get it. I mean, I went to school for something totally different. I went to school for information technology because my parents told me you need to do something that's going to make you money so you can have our pockets, pretty much. So I did that for like 15 years, information technology. And so it just took me a minute to kind of figure out, once I started to see other people who were event planners and how they would make things so beautiful and how people would be so excited when they walk to their events. I'm like, you know what? I want to do that. I want to do that. And once I figured out what it was and how to do it, I mean, it was just history for me. This is what I want to do every day.
So you said two key things, though. You said someone basically came to you and said, hey, can you do this wedding for me? But then at the same time, once you did that wedding, you saw other people doing event planning. It's a lot when people are exposed to something, which is a big deal that I feel the teens of today do not have access to.
Right.
When you were exposed to it, like, what was were you shy at the time? Like, once you saw other people doing event planning, even when you didn't know what it was, how did you go up to someone? Did you get a mentor? Did you shadow someone for a while after that? Or did you just keep going on this trajectory of doing events on your own?
I was very intimidated because it seems like a real huge thing to do. Just trying to figure out, how do you design? How do you do flowers? How do you do these things? So I was first doing it on my own, just figuring it out. And that's how I know when it's your passion, when it's your God-given talent, when you put your hands on something, things just start to happen. You don't know how it happened. You don't know how it started. You just know you did it. And sometimes I was amazed at some of the things I did. And I still do it today where I watch other planners. This weekend, I'm going to watch the royal wedding. I watch things like this and I get, you know, very excited about it. And I learn things from other planners. So I was doing a lot of that. Preston Bailey, who is an amazing florist, amazing designer out of New York. I went to Manhattan to sit with him. And this was, I think, early on in my career. And he just kind of gave me some tips and kind of mentored me on what I need to do as far as not just being a planner and a designer, but how to run a business. Because that's the part I did not know. You know, I can make things beautiful all along. But at the time, I was still working a full-time job in corporate America. So I never looked at it as a business. I'm like, I can't get paid for that. Like, who's going to pay me enough to pay my bills and live the lifestyle I want to live? So it was very scary. But when I figured it out, it just started kind of manifest on its own because I just kept working hard at it every day.
So that's, once again, very interesting. It goes into the next question. You said the royal wedding. I mean, half of the world is going to be up. I don't know if I'm going to be up at 4 a.m. But
I'm a DVR.
Yes, it makes sense for you to probably stay up because that's your, you know, your vein and line of work. Mm-hmm. Let me ask a question. When you watch it this weekend, are you going to be critiquing things or are you going to be soaking in things? Like, you know, as an artist, you know, as a singer, you always are looking like, that was a fun show to watch, or that was boring, or I probably wouldn't have done that, or I wouldn't have, you know, are you that way when it comes to event planning?
Oh my God, I'm so that way. When I go into people events, I'm instantly looking at things, decor, how it's set up, how it's organized. I went to an event probably 2 weeks ago, I think it was. And my friends, they kept looking at me and they said to me, they said, Brian, you're watching everything. Like, you're looking at everything. You're taking it all in. I'm like, I am, because I'm trying to see what could have been done better. And I'm trying to see what was done great, because I'm going to always give you the good and the bad. I'm just not going to be negative, because there's always a good in something. But I do. I look at things. I critique things. If it's great, it's great. If I see something that I can do better, you know, with it, you know, I'm going to critique it. And if my opportunity comes up to do that thing, I know what to do better in that situation. So I usually do both.
Well, that, I mean, that's always good. It's always healthy when you're competing with yourself, I'm sure. What was your first job? When you know, there's times when you're doing jobs and you're doing them for free, but then there's that job where you get a, you know, a cool little check and you're like, that it's that marker in the road that, like, I can make money off my passion and have a comfortable life.
I think my first huge event where I made money and I realized, one, I can do what I want to do. And I've always wanted to have a luxury high-end business where it was affordable. Because I always have to tell people this when they look at my work, they always say, you know, Brian, I can't afford you. I'm like, you can. I feel like you can afford whatever you want to afford. But even though I do run a luxury high-end company, it's affordable for everyone. The very first event I did was with Russell Kong. At the time, he was with the Seattle Seahawks. And he was doing this football camp for kids and teens every year. And I was booked to do that. I was nervous out of my mind. I was so nervous. Like, right before the event, I took a cruise. Never done that before. But I was about to lose my mind. I'm like, Lord, it was so much to do. I had never done a football camp before. This was my first celebrity client. So, of course, they come with a lot. You know, they have a lot of requests and they're calling you at all times of the day. And your life is pretty much their life until your event is over. So it was very early into my career, but it was also very new to me. But I knew I wanted it so bad. I stayed up late nights. I worked hard. I did everything I had to do. And when I got that check, I was like, oh, my God. This is the first time I can say, oh, you can get paid for being an event planner. You can get paid for being an event designer and walk away saying, this is a nice check. So at that point, I knew that I could do it. And it was no stopping me at that point because I know it could be done.
Boy, I bet a lot of people be wishing they can know what these first checks look like. But, you know, that's what happens when you keep going.
Right.
Event planning has thrived since the evolution of social media like crazy. I know for me, I wasn't following nobody in the event planning world. I didn't care, but it would pop up on my timeline. I'd be like, oh, my God, that's so beautiful. And then, of course, I started following you. And then I started seeing you on TV. I mean, but I knew you before all of that and I knew what you could do. But it wasn't until social media that I really was looking at the creative side of what you do. So how do you remain creative by using those social media platforms? But at the same time, your designs are kind of like music. It's like, how do you copyright that stuff? And or do you not care?
Well, first, the way that I remain creative is by following people like Preston Bailey, Diane Valentine, Mindy Wise, although they're at the top of their game. And I feel I've grown in my career, but these designers keep raising the bar. So if they raise the bar, I raise the bar for people that's coming up behind me. But it keeps me in a creative mind. So I'll look at something they did and I'm like, oh my God, that's so amazing. I want to be at that level. And so it makes me create. So I'm always constantly looking at people that inspire me. I'm constantly, you know, researching the latest event trend and the latest flower trend or color trend or linen trend, just always doing that, creating vision boards, doing mock-ups, just all those things to kind of keep me in a creative space and keep me ahead. But as far as just, you know, keeping my stuff on social media protected, we brand it in a way. I always tell people, you know, I don't compete. And I'm not scared to put myself out there because what I do is what I do. You can't do what I do and I can't do what you do. Even though sometimes to some people, the naked eye is like, oh, it's all the same to me. But it's really not because we all have our own signature. And so it's okay. Like when I put it out there now, before people could tell, when I put things out there, you don't know that I was at that event or I might not put my name on it. But people say, Brian, that was your event. And it was amazing to me when people say that. I'm like, how do you know? They were like, because I know how you design. I know how your level of design. I know how you do flowers. I know how you do this. I know how you do that. And so at that point, I'm like, you know what? People notice me. They notice what I'm doing. And so I'm not worried. Nobody can take what I have. It's what I do and nobody can take it.
I totally agree. You mentioned something earlier about the business side of stuff. Is that still a big fear for you? Or, you know, how did you go about officially getting your business in control or in alignment with the laws of Texas, wherever you've registered at? Because, you know, you do fall under entrepreneurship. And I know we could talk about that for a whole nother day about the things that we've learned trial and error in owning officially your own company. What's something that you did to officially become official?
You know, I really think, and I joke about this all the time, but I think I was fooled into starting this company. 10 years ago, my cousin-in-law came to me. It was her, myself, and a couple other cousins. It was supposed to be a family business. And we were going to start this family business, but they needed me to be a part of it. They said, well, you're the designer. You're the real planner. So let's do this. I'm like, I don't want a business. I like information technology. That's what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. That's where I'm going to, you know, retire. And I said, no, 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 we can do this. We can do this. And so we started the business. And of course, after we started the business, everybody left me. And one thing that I always tell people, once I put out in the atmosphere, once I tell people what I'm doing, I have to keep going. I can't stop. So once I got that website, once I got business cards, once I was DBA'd, it was a business for me. I just had to then learn how to run it. And I did make some mistakes. You know, I always tell people I don't have a fairy tale story. I wish I did, but I don't. I have a real story. I did not know how to run a business. Working in corporate America, started my business 5 years before I was laid off from my corporate job, I wasn't prepared. So once I was laid off, I'm like, well, hey, guys, I have a business. I don't have to worry about anything because I have a business. But I didn't realize I had to pay myself. I had to pay people. I had to pay business bills. I had to pay my personal bills. And I lived a certain lifestyle that I wanted to continue to live. So I had some financial issues I ran into. And I had to stop and regroup because I had to go back and work part time. That was the most hurtful thing to me because I was like, I finally made it to entrepreneurship. And now I got to go back to work because I didn't know how to. I didn't secure myself. I didn't secure my future. So, you know, just once I started with the website, with the DBA, all that, the business started, but I just didn't secure it until 5 years later. So I always tell people, you know, once you know you want to be an entrepreneur, it's not just about a DBA. It's not just about a website or business card. It's all about also all about securing your finances for those days where it's slow or where something happens. Entrepreneurship is not easy, but I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world.
Well, I can agree to that too. It's so freeing. You know, the trials are very, very hard. But once you make them, you're like, I'm not doing that again. You know?
Mm-mm.
All right. Well, before we go into the big stuff, like the people you work with, some I am huge fans of, you said something, you know, interesting. Are there any current programs, any books that you would recommend any teens, young adults to read to really encourage them on their journey as an entrepreneur or maybe even in event planning? What books, or give me one book that you would recommend? Magazine, anything?
No, the one that I'm reading now, and I know it's been out for a long time, but I keep reading it over and over and over, is The Secret. Because a lot of people want to know what is The Secret. And that's one of the ways I started doing affirmations. I started meditating. I started looking at life a little different, and it changed my life completely. Because being an entrepreneur, sometimes you do have your days where it's like, I don't want to do this no more. This not working for me. I'm going back to corporate America. I can't. And reading the book, The Secret, is so many things in there, so many nuggets that would keep you inspired, keep you uplifted, and how just to kind of manifest those things in your life that you want and stay in a positive space, a positive energy. So I will say that because I think anybody, whether you're a teen or adult, whoever you are, I think you can read it, understand it, grasp it, and understand what it's telling you to do and apply it to your life. So I would say The Secret.
All right. The Secret. You know, I've not read that one yet, so I'll definitely have to put that on my reading list.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for that. All right. Before we let you go, we got to talk about, you know, you have some upcoming events you work with. I mean, one of my favorite reality TV shows is one that you worked on, Married to Medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge Tammy Roman fan. I mean, she's now what, you know, Houston, you know,
mm-hmm.
VH1 Basketballs. I love it. You've even worked like Direct Energy and, you know, Housewives of Atlanta. Hey,
yes.
That's where I saw your work like really, really blossom. What's your process and planning? Like when you're on TV, do you get intimidated? Like how do you go about starting out the process? Like do they tell you what the scenes are and do they give you a color scheme? Like how does that work? Give us like a tidbit behind the scenes.
Well, you know, it's regular work just with someone following you around. So now the first time I did TV, I was intimidated by the camera. It's like, okay, you're constantly in my face and I want to be perfect for the camera. I don't want to mess up. I don't want to say something wrong. And after I just realized, you know what? It's just a camera in my face, but it's a normal day. And this is a client. At the end of the day, it's not about TV. It's about client. It's about me doing what I love to do. The first thing I always do, my very first process of planning, is getting to know my client. I have to get to know my client. So we might sit and talk for an hour or so. Just getting to know them, and it could be about personal stuff, it could be about the event, it could be about anything. And the reason why I do that is because I get to know who you are, so I know how to plan your event that would speak to you, who you are. Every event I do is different. I would never do anything the same because everybody's different. So we start there, and once we get to know who the client is, what their vision is, Then we go into the design stage, which I love. That is my favorite part because we start on paper with just writing down, and then we go to drawing, then it goes to the computer in 3D so the client can actually see what it's going to look like on that day. And then on the day of your event, you get to see it in reality. And that's my most happiest moment. So, those are like some of the few stages. Reality TV, though, it's kind of different than my everyday life because some things I can't do, some things I can do. We just finished a movie with Tierra J. Vaughn, Tamela and David Mann. It's called Merry Wishmas, which will come out, I think, November, December on TV One. And we were brought in to do set design. And so most of the scenes at the very beginning, they're very, very poor, so they don't have any money. And so, of course, you know, I love my zhuzh. I love doing things over top and beautiful. And so Terry kept telling me, she's like, you know, Brian, this is cute. This is amazing. I love it, but I need poor. I need like more poor. And I'm like, I don't know how to do that. And so I finally got it. And I had to realize, Brian, this is not your everyday life. This is the script. And you have to go by the script. So I had to do a lot of things different than what I was used to. But I got used to it. And then finally, at the end of the scene that we had to do, the end of the movie, it was a scene where it was Tamela Mann. She's a high-end event planner. Go figure. And so I was able to decorate her hotel and her apartment, this lavish luxury place. And that was where I was most happy to be. But it just depends on what we're working on. And we just now, you know, when it's TV, you have to go with what the plan is, not necessarily always what you want to do. So I had to get used to that. But it's still fun.
Ooh, I can't wait to see how you decorate a poor scene. That's going to be interesting. Congratulations so much on everything. Oh, my gosh. You got to tell us what else outside of the film. Of course, Tamela Mann. Oh, gosh, I love her.
All right.
I can't wait to see it. Can't wait to see your work in there. What else do you have coming up that we can support? Tell us your social media handles.
So, of course, everything is Brian Keith Productions, B-R-I-A-N-K-E-I-T-H Productions with an S on Instagram, on Facebook. You can always find us, see what we're doing, see what the upcoming events are, see what events we've planned. A lot of traveling for weddings. This is wedding season, which is one of my favorite times of the year to do all the beautiful weddings. And my one-on-one class, one-on-one with Brian Keith, it is for entrepreneurs who have an event planning business or want to become an event planner. You can find that information in my bio, the link. And it's $195. You give me for 2 hours and I just give you all of the tips and all of the secrets that I have that have gotten me to where I am today for $195. And after that, I become your mentor. So if you call me with any questions or anything in the future, I answer because I believe in giving back. I believe in helping. I believe in making sure that everybody wins at the end of the day.
So, and where are your one-on-one classes?
The one-on-one classes are actually online. So you can take this class wherever we log into Zoom. Once you pay your $195, you get all the information, what to expect from the class, how to log in. But it is on the app Zoom. So you can be anywhere in the world and take this one-on-one class with me. Yes.
Well, I so love it. I so love it. You guys, Brian Keith, please welcome him to Tamar Talks Radio. Yes. Thank you so much, Brian.
Thank you for having me. And I'm super proud of you. When I do get to watch TV and I see you, I'm so happy because I know who you are.
All right, you guys, thank you so much for listening to Tamar Talks, a.k.a. Ashley Tamar on Tamar Talks Podcast. You guys, it means so much when you listen. I hope you are learning and enjoying hearing the music that's going on. Please do not forget to share the information. Tell others about it. I love to educate, empower. Any questions that you have, you know I'm going to answer them to the best of my ability. I may not know everything, but through my experience, the least I can do is be honest and tell you the truth, not just about music, but just as a woman and being a woman in the business and just having your own business. There are so many topics coming up. Next week, don't forget to catch me here on Tamar Talks. We're going to talk about Tidal. Tidal is going through some potential data breach. It's so sad how much the streaming business has changed a lot when it comes to numbers and royalties. But hey, it really does happen. So stay tuned for that information. I have more independent artists coming your way, some more undiscovered talent coming your way. And I also have some unreleased music coming from me that's not in the vault. Hint, hint. All right, you guys have a great week, a great Memorial Day weekend. Be safe, stay prayed up, and keep it real. Love you guys. Mm-hmm.
pray.